Coach McCarter is with us live in the Juice Box. Coach, it's a pleasure to have you here with us today. Coach, go ahead and tell all the listeners your name and what it is that you've been up to here lately.
Well, thanks, Jay. Glad to be on here with you. My name's Terry McCarter. I'm retired and from coaching and teaching many, many years, and I didn't think I would, but I'm enjoying being retired. It's kind of fun.
Awesome.
Kind of nice to be paid for doing nothing.
Awesome, Coach. So how many years did you coach?
Well, virtually since I was 17 years old, and I'm 72 almost now. So, but as far as high school is concerned, about 26 years.
26 years. All right.
But coach AAU, well, just everything you can possibly think of, military teams, the whole gamut before that. So it's been a long time, 50-something years.
50 years as a coach. Man, that is awesome, Coach. So tell me this. What do you think the biggest difference is in the game today in comparison to, let's say, when you first started out coaching?
The game or the players?
The players is fine.
Well, of course, many people talk about it. It's we're in that age of entitlement where kids and parents expect to play, expect to start. Everyone thinks they should make the team. I think that comes from our lower leagues when you're young kids where everybody plays, everybody gets a trophy.
Right.
And then they can't understand why it's only an elite group that make teams, like in high school, for instance.
Right.
So that's an issue. I wasn't bitten by that too bad. I probably retired before it became worse. But people tell me it's really bad. But I was lucky. Other than a few individual cases, I had a lot of kids with great character when I coached in high school, as you well know, when you were one of them. And so I wasn't afflicted with that too much, but it is a difference. There's no question it's a lot of different than it was like when I played, where you were just glad to make the varsity. You didn't even care if you got in a game.
Right.
Such a thrill to be there. But now everyone thinks they should start and play 32 minutes, you know?
Right. Oh, no, that's interesting. Coach, tell me now, of all your years coaching, what was the best team you ever coached?
I knew you would do that. Well, of course, I coached girls and I coached boys.
Right.
I coached girls for 8 years in high school, and I coached boys for 18. And I had, you know, you could probably single out three teams that were pretty similar. One of my girls' teams, of course, we were ranked as high as 18th in the nation in USA Today. So,
man,
obviously, that team was pretty good.
Right.
And then I had two boys. That was at George Jenkins High School in Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had two boys' teams you could single out at Mandarin High School in Jacksonville. The one you were on, which I know you're hoping I would say that was the best. Which was a really good team, no question about it. And then another one about 10 years after that, that you well know, you know, that had P.J. Gaynor and Akeem and Chris Amons and kids like that on there. And all three of those were pretty equal. All three had a chance for a state championship. Unfortunately, we had some strange things happened that derailed us right at the end before we went to the Final Four.
Right, definitely. So that's awesome to be mentioned in that group. Now, Coach, let me ask you this. Who is the best player you've ever coached?
That's really hard to say. You just have to, you know, it's according to what you're looking for as far as skill set or whether it's someone that's more valuable to your team because of their attitude and their energy and things of that nature. You know, I've had some I've had some really good players, obviously. We've had about 8 Division I players, kids that have played at that level, boys, right. And I had several girls. And I've always told people, unfortunately for all you guys, probably the best player skill-wise I ever coached was a girl.
Right.
Ebony Smith, which, since Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt both said that was the best player they'd ever seen in high school, I guess probably I'm right.
Right. I guess that would definitely qualify you to be right there, Coach.
I've had several guys that were really good. You were one of the better defensive players that I ever coached.
Right.
I don't think there's any question about that. And your energy and your intensity was something that only a few have even come close to matching in my career. So,
you know,
you're right up there with some of the good ones, too.
All right. I appreciate that, Coach. I actually, I actually learned to handle the ball a little bit better and shoot it a little bit better after my time with you. So I think you'd be pretty proud right now.
Unfortunately, many of you improved when you played in college, and you come back a man. You know, when I had you, you were boys.
That's right.
But I don't want to single out. There's so many good players. I don't want to necessarily single out anybody, except Ebony does stand tall, considering she had quadruple doubles a lot.
Jeez. Okay.
You don't find that very often, do you?
No, you don't. So let me ask you this, Coach. What would Coach McCarter in 2018 say to first-year Coach McCarter, if he could give him any advice?
Well, one of the things was when you coach both, when you coach women and men, a lot of times people think, and they did in yesteryear, and when I first started coaching, you could treat them the same, but you can't treat women and men the same. We know that. We don't want to get into the psychology of it totally, but there is a difference in our brains and the way we're hardwired, and you can't talk to a girl the same way you do to a guy. And I didn't know those things when I first started, so I was really rough on the women too. And that was fine. We still loved each other, but I learned a lot more about how to handle women. Unfortunately, it was after I coached women, and I was coaching men after that for a long time, or young guys. But that's one thing I would like to go back and make sure I could have changed, and a lot of people need to understand that and make that change.
Definitely. Awesome, Coach. That's great, sound advice. Now, let me ask you this, Coach. How does it feel to – how does it make you feel to see so many of your former players that are now coaching?
Oh, it's great. Absolutely. I haven't got out to where you are in Oregon to see you coach. Of course, you've coached with me before. And
right.
So, obviously, I know you're really good at it. But like going to see Tron Griffin the other day and seeing him coach at Georgia State. And I'm planning on a trip. I'm trying to get to see Kevin Thomas and see his team.
Okay.
I'm just going to try to see in August when you have your reception.
Right. Definitely.
And it's great. I wish more had coached, but a lot of them will now that they have children. A lot of them are going to start coaching their kids, and who knows where that will lead. In my case, I coached young kids and then moved on up into older ages, and then I decided to go into high school, at a later date in life when I was already in my 40s. So a lot of these guys may do the same thing. You never know.
Right. Awesome. So, Coach, let me ask you this, and this is kind of the last question I have for you, Coach. If you were coaching in the NBA right now and you needed one basket, who would you want to run that play to?
Well, probably It'd be a tough choice between LeBron and Steph Curry.
Okay.
But I believe with all my heart, LeBron's the best player because he can do so many things. So regardless of who they put on him or what they decide to do to stop him, LeBron would probably have to be my first choice. But Steph Curry's another guy that's a money ball guy. You know that. So one of those two, certainly, and probably you'd have to go with LeBron. You know, you guys always used to ask those kind of things and always give it the death question. If you had to choose a player to make that shot, and if he didn't, you were going to die, who would it be? But if LeBron's standing there and you pass over him, that wouldn't be too bright, I don't think.
Yes, for certain, man. That's a very interesting way to put that, Coach. Now, Coach, I do have to.
I always thought about that before I made any decisions prior to who I was going to use in a certain situation and things like that. I always thought about that, and that's always a good way to think about it, I can tell you that.
Awesome, man. That's great. Now, Coach, I know you are the four, you know, our four offense, the four corner offense.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a staple of yours. Can you tell me what kind of inspired that or where you got that from or how did you come up with that?
Well, of course, like most people my age, the first time I saw the four corner was with Dean Smith in North Carolina.
Okay.
And Phil Ford, who was the most famous guard to ever run that. Over the years, many times rules were changed to try to keep people from utilizing that offense. Of course, the shot clock takes care of that. They have to advance now in college. But in high school, many things were changed, such as even though you went by a defender with the ball, the count, the defender was within 6 feet. Things like that made you have to pass the ball more, and one kid couldn't control the ball. But a lot of people think of the four corner as being a stall offense, and it's certainly not that. My team scored more in four than any other offense.
Right.
And we were more productive with that, as long as somebody came out and got us. And if people don't come out and get you and extend their defense, then you have the right to hold the ball in high school until they do. And, of course, depending on the score and the depth of your talent and their talent, sometimes you use it for different reasons. But it's a scoring offense when people pick you up. There's no question about it. But it was definitely a staple of mine, and especially at Mandarin. A lot of people didn't like to play against it.
No, they did not. Well, Coach, I want to say thank you, man. You have definitely – inspired me. I thank you for all the lessons that you've taught me and instilled in me. I definitely believe that I am coaching today because of the impact that you had in my life. So I want to just tell you I love you, man, and I appreciate you. And we got to get you out here so you can see it out here in Oregon, man. I think you'd love it.
Oh, well, that's on my bucket list. I'll get that trip in too. So. I'm sure I will, depending on, you know, where you are at the time and where you end up. But
okay.
If you're going to stay in Oregon, then I'll have to be there. So I'll have to get out there in the next year or two.
Okay.
But thank you. I love you too. I'm glad that you feel like that influence helped you. And that's why we do it. That's why at least most coaches, I'm sure, coach. It's not for money.
Right.
Not at that level, not at high school. So, I get to, like I've told you before, I get to pass away a happy man someday and with no regrets because of that. So I would recommend it for anyone. Even in the age of entitlement, coaching is still the route to go because there's nothing that can be more meaningful to you and to the players than coaching them and watching them grow and mature. It's not like regular business, that's for sure.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Okay, Coach. Well, I appreciate your time. Coach, now, do you have like Twitter or Instagram, or you have any of that? Because I usually allow people to give a chance to see how folks can follow them if you have that. So I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I don't use it too much, and Twitter. I look at it every now and then, and on Facebook. Facebook's about the only, I never post too many things. I'm not into that kind of stuff. I just use it to keep up with people.
Okay. All right.
To watch what all you guys are saying. But yeah, I have all three of those. I'm on
Sweet.
All of them.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, Coach. Well, thank you, man. And I get down to Florida. I got to come spend some time with you. Maybe you can teach me how to play golf, because my golf game is not where it needs to be. So,
all right, there it is. I'm going Friday. I'm not very good either, but it's fun to get out there and thrash around.
Okay. All right, Coach. Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for joining us on the Juice Box.
Thanks for having me, big guy. Take care.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.